Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I was wondering. Praise the Lord. Can you greet 5 people around you? Maybe that will wake you up. Yeah. Go around 5 people. Go around. Bless the person. Say, wake up, wake up, wake up. Collect your blessing. Tell the person, collect your blessing. Get up. Collect your blessing. Tell the person, collect your blessing. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. All right, let's quickly open our Bibles this morning to declare the glory of the Lord. Let's use one of those powerful portions of the scriptures. I think Jeremiah chapter 10 is what's on my mind. So we'll just use that, which I know, I believe we all know very well. I know most of us will know that by heart now, so once I mention Jeremiah chapter 10, my children don't open the scriptures. The issue is that we start from the back and read it backwards, or from the end and read it backwards. That's what the question will be in their hearts. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, can we start reading? All right, 1, 2, let's go then.
There is none like you, O Lord. You are great. It is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ophir. The work of a craftsman, and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is a true God. He is a living God, and the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens. He causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We open our hearts to you. We lay ourselves down on your altar. We have come this morning, Lord, to drink of your spirit. Lord Jesus, that spirit, that life by which we are being transformed into your perfect image, that's what we have come to drink of this morning. Grant it to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, because we know you have heard us and you've granted this, we declare as follows. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I've been filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take our seats. The Lord is good. Okay, so let's do what we have to do this morning. Let me start again from the book of... there are so many scriptures I have that I planned to read this morning. So which one do we start with? Somebody said anyone. Exodus 34. Let me read from verse 11. Be sure to observe what I'm commanding you this day. Behold, I am going to drive out the Amorite before you, and the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst. but rather you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their asherim. For you shall not worship any other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. His name is Jealous. As if that was not enough to make the point, he said he's a jealous God. He said, you shall not worship any other God, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Otherwise, you might make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they would play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and someone might invite you to eat of his sacrifice. And you might take some of your daughters, of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters might play the harlot with their gods and cause your sons also to play the harlot with their gods. He said, you shall make for yourself no molten gods. Let me stop reading here. The main reason I read that is that verse 14. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Last time we began to speak about this. Of course, for some time we have been looking at the character of God, and we titled the whole series The Goodness of God. The truth is that God is always eager to do us good. And last time I explained the fact that he's jealous. I introduced this, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it again. It's what something else is jealous about, I want to emphasize today. Alright? Now that he's jealous, it means that he wants us focused on him. He doesn't want anybody or anything competing with our devotion. I emphasized last time, your wife cannot compete for your devotion with God. Your husband cannot compete for your devotion. He can't compete with God in your life. Your children are not allowed to be the object of your devotion in such a manner that they displace God. God must be number one, and any other person that tries to take that position automatically comes under a curse. Automatically, the person invites his wrath against him or her. And you that follow along, you are provoking the wrath of God against your new object of worship. I need to remind us, worship is not just about lying down. Like Pastor Annie was teaching us yesterday, that you go to the markets, early morning prayer, and the person finishes praying and turns around and starts doing business the way of the world. Ed Cole used to say, practical atheism is not raising a fist and saying there is no God. It says living like there's none. Let me use my own words. It's living as if God is not watching you. Is living as if God will not judge your actions. That is practical atheism. You may not be somebody who professes that there is no God, but when you live like he's not there, you're a practical atheist. In the same manner, worship is not you saying, I worship. Many people go to church, they raise their hands and say, Lord, I worship you. They are not worshiping. They are not worshiping. I don't mean any criticism, but we have to just tell the truth. Sometimes when I talk to some of our friends, and they invented a song, say, we are honoring Mary, we are not worshiping. I said, listen, roses called by any other name, they still smell nice. You can take your most expensive perfume and call it chair. Doesn't change the smell. It's not the name of what you call what you do that's the issue. It is what you are doing. It is what you are doing. Some of us, you know what I'm talking about? Some of us worship our children, we worship our spouses, we worship our jobs, and we don't realize it. Without using that name, the thing comes under the curse of God because it is taking the place of God in our lives. And God says, I take it personal. That's the meaning of the word jealous. I avenge myself of my adversary. When God says somebody is his adversary, is anybody that's trying to take his place? I make a joke with students when I'm teaching. I have a simple rule. You don't walk into my class anytime you like. All right? That's my, many of you may have observed it. Sometimes, the joke I crack, I say, hey, this is not a high-paying job. I said, the privilege is to feel important. I said, so when you walk in after me, you are making yourself feel more important than me. Now, I make a joke of it. All right? But the point I'm making is, I said, look, there are certain things that belong to God. And anybody that wants to take it, take that position in your life, God starts fighting. Say, this is my position. Many don't like it. Like we keep on referring to that nonsense statement somebody made. That said, God is just preoccupied with saying he's the one. Now, the reason why he does that is the oxygen trying to tell you, breathe me. Don't breathe carbon monoxide. I hope you know that carbon monoxide in low concentrations kill. Yes, let me teach you small, you know, biology and medicine. If you inhale carbon monoxide, it binds to your hemoglobin and does not let go. If you inhale carbon dioxide, your hemoglobin, your red cells, they are designed to release carbon dioxide. So it only picks it up when it's in high concentration in your tissues. It gets to your lungs, it lets it go. But when you inhale carbon monoxide, it was not designed to be there. It locks it and doesn't let go. So that even if you now give the person plenty of oxygen, they will still die. Because the oxygen has no space. That's why God says, you can't worship another God. It's not because he loves himself so much. It's because he says, I'm the oxygen in your life. Carbon monoxide will kill you. Not only will carbon monoxide kill you, it will kill the generations after you. It will turn you to beasts. You know, people sometimes, you know, I was watching a video the other day, and they were, of course, physicists were talking about the likelihood of this Earth being struck by an asteroid that will cause so much damage to wipe out the whole of humanity and maybe all animals. I just shook my head. I said, see. So there's something I said, we should be ready for it. I said, the day God wants to do it, you can't stop it. And if he's not planning to do it, asteroids don't move by chance. God will tell you, hit or don't hit. Do you know how many thousands and millions of them out there? They said they were the ones that struck the dinosaurs. They struck the Earth and the dinosaurs were wiped out. God says it's a lie. I judged Leviathan. This is in the scriptures. One day God judged Leviathan and killed Leviathan off. And that's what we call dinosaurs. Don't have time to talk about it now. Where am I going? See this earth that is there. God says if you bind to the carbon monoxide we're talking about, which is other gods, eventually all of you will die off. Your children will die off. So when God shouts, I am God, there is none else, what he's saying, I am oxygen. Where you are going to is laced with carbon monoxide, and if it's food, with cyanide. Come to me and eat that which is good. It's not about him. People don't understand that God is so great. The only reason why you and I exist is because of his greatness. If you cut him into 1 billion pieces, each piece is still as great as the former 1 billion put together. That's what they call infinity. So he doesn't have any problem with taking out of himself and putting into you and calling you a living soul. It doesn't reduce him. It doesn't need you to validate him or make him, in quotes, survive. So anytime he says, I am God, there is none else, he's shouting at you to be careful that you don't throw away your destiny. That's all. He's shouting, don't die for nothing. What you are looking for, you will never find it there. What they are offering you is deception. That is what God is about. So, and he's very, very jealous for that position. Now, let me say another thing. I don't know what I said this last time. When God chose the word jealous, it was not a threat. You know what he was trying to do? It was a word of affection. I don't know whether I get my point. It was a word, you know, let's talk about husband and wife as an example. That a woman is jealous, all right, to an extent. Do you know it's a sign of love? Do you know that? Yeah. Some people can carry something to an extent that, who was calling you? Why did they call you? That kind of thing. Let's go the other way. Let me not use woman. Men. Who's more jealous, men or women? Answer no. Okay, so a small sample now. Most of the women said it is men. Most of the men said it is women. And I think it's a good thing that the way we answered in a confused manner like that, that is like, the women saying it's men, yeah. It's because of what you have experienced. I hope you're getting my point. But I'm a man. Let me start from a man's perspective. And because we're talking about God, I'll take from, because God tends to take the position of a man, all right? You know, if you, a man is calling your wife all the time, I hope I get my point, and you don't say anything, you don't care. You know, after a while, the woman starts wondering whether you really care. Do you get my point? Yeah, she actually starts wondering. I'm sorry about this, okay? It doesn't sound nice. So women actually, they flaunt the sin in the face of their husbands just to check how he will react. Do you know that? They just want him to get angry. They want him to get furious. And the man is getting there, and she's enjoying it. Not for any other thing than, hey, at least, this man loves me. Do you get my point? He doesn't want somebody else to collect me. I saw a movie years ago, watched it a few times. I won't tell the name of the movie because I don't like to advertise movies. This guy was having a relationship with this woman. They met under work circumstances. So the work she was doing brought them together. Now, she was investigating him, actually. And he knew. He was a very smart guy. He knew, and he let her know, I know what you're doing. But then because we always seen each other, he started falling in love with her and vice versa. All right? Then after a while, he did something. You know what he did? There's this young lady that worked for him. Actually, his friend's daughter. But she didn't know. But she knows that if she comes to his place, she tends to be around. Now, later on, okay, what happened later is that this actually his, let's say his best friend's daughter. And the man was in prison. And he had made a promise to take good care of her. She's a young lady. So she worked for him. But because she was like an uncle to her. So she was free in the house, you know. Like one day she came in and she was in his bedroom. You know, just relaxing. You know, the way your daughter would just be there. That's their relationship. It was a father to daughter thing. Nothing more than that. But you know what he did? She didn't know all of this things I'm telling you. And because police was watching him, he took the girl out. You know, they were outside. And like, he whispered something to her closely and talked there for long so that they would take pictures of him. He knew she would see the pictures. So next time they were driving somewhere. She was just acting up, you know, acting like, hey, okay. So how was the day? It was fine. How does it bother you? I'm talking to you. You're not answering me. Go on. Keep talking. You know, she was just acting very touchy and nasty. So he started laughing. He said, what's funny? So she was very angry, told the driver to stop. So he stopped. So she walked out of the car. So he was not pursuing after her. Relax. And the girl was like, why should I relax? Leave me alone. And I said, I know why you are angry. Now call that girl's name. He said, is it because of, let's assume the girl's name is Eve. He said, is it because of Eve? So she started to say, yes, it's because of Eve. He burst into laughter. He said, I wanted you to get angry. He said, oh, you are sadistic. He said, no. I wanted to know whether all this to you is just about the investigation. She melted. You can remember, I melted. Right there, she melted. The guy said, I needed to know. She said, know what? Whether all of this was just about the work that you're doing. How will I know? Let's see whether you are jealous for me. So he just demonstrated to her that he had affection for somebody else, and it affected her so badly that he knew her love was real. And that was when he made his decision. Do you get the logic here? That jealousy was necessary for him. So that I know that this girl truly loves me. She's not just hanging around me for what she's going to get out of, let's put it like that, get out of me, so to speak. It was a bit complicated, it's a story, but this is how to make it easy. So when God used it, that's what I need to understand. When God said, I'm a jealous God, it wasn't a threat. It was a sign of what? Affection. I love you so much, I will kill whoever tries to take you from me. That's what he was saying. If I can't have you, I destroy everything. It was not supposed to be something of, which kind of God is this? It's like, which kind of loving God is this? Do you get it? Which kind of loving God is this? He's so loving, I can't have affection for another God. It's not he's so possessive. Do you get my point? Yeah. No, it's not about being possessive. It's not about being possessive. It's more like, see, I love you so much, I'm jealous. He wouldn't go. Where did you see him call himself jealous God when he was talking to the Moabites? Where did you see him call himself jealous God talking about to the Philistines? No. The relationship he had with other people was God and what is the opposite of God now? God and people. Let's be like that. But with Israel, it was his relationship of what? Husband and wife. It was father and son. He would say, Israel is my firstborn. He said, Israel is my son. He's my firstborn. So let him go so he can serve me. Otherwise, I will kill your firstborn. That's the way this matter is to God. It is not about, I'm just angry. No. I love you so much, I am jealous. We should appreciate him for it. And of course, like I said, I don't think I need to tell anybody. Now, there are people who are crazy. I hope you're getting my point. I know. I have one guy in mind. He's crazy. If you talk to his wife, whoa. It's somebody I know. Not a personal friend, but you know, I've met him a few times. I know the wife a little more than him, but not so close. Somebody explained to me was that, like maybe I meet the wife on the road, and I'm like, madam, how now? Long time. The woman will run away. I also will not see that conversation. Now that one is sick. What did I say? It's sick. If mistakenly send her, a woman send the wife message. How now? Long time. Don't tell when we see you. No, no matter. No number. There will be war in the house. That one is abnormal. Are you getting my point? Should I tell you one thing about him? Meanwhile, the guy. Now, I'm going to give you a very sound word for him. The guy is a he-goat. He that has an ear, let him hear what I just said. He was not a good person at all. He couldn't be trusted. He was not faithful. Well, which explained the way why he was so suspicious. Yeah, so we're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about the jealousy of God. When God says he's jealous, it is a sign of what? Love. It's a sign of affection. Okay? I'm just revising some things. Now, so last time, I talked about the issue of purpose. That he must be first in our lives. Fact, he must be first. You can't be wanting to please somebody else before him. And that's the thing I was telling you about worship. Who are you trying to please? That's what worship is. Who are you trying to please? I need to tell this story again. A friend of mine did something years ago. If it's now, I'll tell him the truth. But then, you know, as you get older, you get wiser. And again, you get bolder. Yes, it happens with age. You just start getting bolder. But I didn't tell him anything when he was telling me this. He got up one day. I want to listen to this. He got up one day. He decided on his own that when next they pay salaries, I'm going to take my whole salary and give it to God. Now, it was his decision. It was his decision. Now, let's leave whether it is necessary, it was necessary or not necessary. I don't know what happened in his life at that point, but it just felt like honoring God. But when next they pay his salary, the salaries, I'm going to take everything and give it out. So he told his wife, and his wife made his statement, that if she had done the same thing, because they both work, if she too had made that kind of vow, what food would they eat? Which money would they have for that month? Now, because I know there are questions in your heart also, I will answer. All right? Life has order. What did I say? The Bible tells us clearly, if she had made that vow without telling her husband, it is invalid until he hears about it and affirms it or says nothing about it. The basic rule in scripture is 24 hours. 24 hours after I hear about it, it is confirmed by default. But he has the power to cancel it. So that argument she gave was pointless. It was not a sound argument. It was irrelevant. Life has an order. You are in a house. No matter how much we try to equate everything in this world, let's not deceive ourselves. There's order. The man is still the leader. So if you go out and make a vow to God, God will say, go and tell your husband. Which is why I believe, that Elizabeth was visited by the angel just as Mary was visited. She didn't become pregnant as a surprise. But the angel still went to talk to Zacharias. That's the way it works. And they had to shut his mouth so he won't spoil it. And in case you do not know, he also shut his ears. You know that is clear from scripture. How do we know? Yes, when they went to talk to him, they had to write. All right, I'll be my point. Okay, now, so this is where I'm going. That's a small aside. I'm talking about worship. Who do you obey first? That is worship. Who do you obey first? That is worship. Who do you obey first? So he came to me and told me what happened. So the wife said no. That he couldn't do what he told the Lord he would do. Yes. I know some women are difficult. Any difficult women in the house? I'm scanning the eyes of the men, whether they are looking at their wives, as I was asking. If your husband looks in your direction, you are difficult. See, there's no. I don't care how nice you think you are a difficult person. Some people are difficult. I thank God my wife is not difficult. If she wanted to be difficult, God arranged it early, see? She jammed her head against mine. At the end of the day, said that which head is harder? Sometimes people tell me the problems they have. I say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Why? I don't have your problem. So let me refer you to somebody who has gone through what you have gone through in that area. But some women are really difficult. And please, can I beg you, if you're a woman, don't be like that. It's not necessary. You shouldn't be hard to lead. You should not be hard to lead. You should not be hard to lead. See, in life, in marriage, in anything, okay? Following, this is my own experience, is as important, if not more important, than leading. I was surprised, I found out that they now teach what they call followership. You know, everyone knows about leadership. Now, there's what they call followership. I used to call it followership, but what has been established as a use is followership. Leading is something, it's a concept we all know about leadership. But many of us don't know there's what is called followership. Even though we know the principle, followership is very important. And one major problem we have in our society, in a country like ours, is followership. People talk about leaders are bad. No, the followers are worse. The followers are far worse than the leaders. A leader's work is difficult if you can't follow based on what he says. And he has to put threats. That shows you a difficult person. Following is, amongst adults, is more important than leaders. Because in a group of 20, you have one leader. You have 19 followers. 19 people can frustrate your life. Like somebody said, try and run a WhatsApp group and see how difficult Nigeria is to rule. Just start a WhatsApp group. There are only 50 people inside. Tell them don't post nonsense here. And count the number of nonsense they will post on a daily basis. One, they don't read the instructions. Don't tell them this thing you have posted is nonsense. They get angry. And did the language not post it the other day? Did Temer do not post his own? Why is it my own now that you are now talking? Is your own nonsense? Yes. Who posted nonsense before you? It doesn't matter. Followership is a problem. Now, let me not sit on that too much. But as a woman, please, in the house, don't be difficult. Not a woman. Any human being. Don't be difficult to lead. You hear Pastor Stanley talking yesterday. For some of you, there, did these people discuss? We're talking about traffic rules. I'm sure some of you were thinking that, did they talk to each other? No, we have never discussed that. Me and him, never. He just chose spirituality. When I say no parking, I don't park there. My reason is that why do I have to make it difficult to rule a society? They put a sign there, no parking. Must they arrest me first? They put a traffic light, red, stop. Please let me stop so that they can arrest criminals. I'm not a criminal. That's why I do some of the things I do. They put it boldly, no parking. Must they put police there? That's what I don't get. You know, you make... Please, let me sit on my message. I don't want to go off the tangent. You make it expensive to run the country when they now need to put police to arrest you for parking. A simple sign that says no parking should have been enough to have a civil society. People who can live, you know. And that is what it is. God expects to give rules. And then you follow the rules. He doesn't have to bring a cane. It's something he does very reluctantly. If you have a leader, you know, I like to tell this story, please. I hope you don't mind. This is my small things. Once I went for my alumni fellowship, and I've never forgotten that. And our president had made a decision which shocked the rest of us, the exco. Normally, we just come, you give freely. He imposed a particular fee. Anybody that arrives for convention pays this amount, then you can give after that. It was not our thing. So immediately, people just said, no, we need to have a meeting. So they told him. So he called the meeting, we all gathered in one room. And we spoke at length. I remember that day. We spoke, argued on why this is not good, why we never did it in the first place. We canceled, we started out that like that. We've canceled this thing years ago. Oga, why are you bringing it up? Nobody even said, but why didn't you inform us? No, you are the boss. But why? We argued and argued. And that talk must have gone on for nothing less than an hour. Up and down, up and down. What I remember is one of our brothers just said, okay, we have argued enough. You are the president. What's your final word? He said, the levy stays. And we left there. He said, okay, sir. I've not forgotten that until tomorrow. He just said, you are the president. What's the final word? He said, the levy stays. I remember very well. No anger. No animosity. As soon as he said it, we left there. Said, let's join her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We give you thank you. And we left. When that convention was over, I remember I stopped him somewhere near UBTH. I said, sir, congrats. It was such a phenomenal convention. It was so beautiful. The Holy Spirit was present throughout. And I remember it because in my mind, I felt that that was a test for us. And I remember the person who asked that question. He just said, okay, we have spoken at length. It's been a long time. It's late. Of course, the first night we ended the program late before we started this meeting, 1 hour had passed. He said, look, we have spoken long enough. You are the president. What is your final word? And the guy said, the levy stays. All the arguments were in the last 1 hour. He packaged like this, rolled it, threw in the dustbin, and that was the end of it. But I like the fact that nobody complained. I tell you, nobody complained. You know why we didn't complain? We said, oh, God has spoken. You should not be difficult to lead. Please, go and practice being a good follower. If you are ordained to follow, be a good one. That's not my message for this morning, so I can't stay there. Go back to the story I was telling you. So my friend said, his wife said and said, no, that levy, that promise you made to God, you can't keep it. See, don't make oaths to God. Don't make promises, don't make pledges. If you do, you have to keep it all. So salary time, payment was made. Salaries were paid. She now went to him. Where is the money for... Remember, she will give him... he will give her money for this and that and that. This money I will need. She just went to him like that. And the guy was telling me, before this happened, before the consequences came up, he said, you see, and the Bible says, a man should take care of his household. He started quoting scriptures that were there. Scriptures that were there before he made his vow. It's not a scripture that was just invented. And I remember looking at him like, excuse me, were these Bible verses not there when you made this vow to God? By the time he finished talking, persuading himself, not me, because I was not persuaded. He took money and gave to his wife and did not pay the vow like he made. I said, okay, fine. That's what they call worship. Who do you obey? Who do you fear more? Who do you fear first? You know what God did? He collected his money back every dime. If his salary was, let's just give a figure, was 100,000 naira, God collected 100,000 naira with 500 naira on top. Every dime. He collected everything. How did he do it? The child first sick, that was number one. The child first sick. They took the child to hospital, they had to buy expensive drugs. That took half of the money. God checked how much is remaining. The angel said, no, I never collect finish. The wife drove into a filling station. They sold her water instead of fuel. She drove the car away. The engine had serious issues. He spent the balance of the money fixing the car. He came to tell me this himself. By the time he totaled the money, the whole salary was gone. I said, don't worry, I've taken my money. Since you fear your wife more than you fear me, no problem, I take my money. And that's being nice. Next time I take it fourfold. I take the four next salaries. When this happened to him, I felt like saying that. See, I could have spared you this trouble. You would have spent the same money and earned a blessing. Now you spend the whole money and didn't get anything. I'm talking about what worship is. When you say you won't have another God, what is God? It is who you live for. And last time I talked about it. Secondly, and which is what I'm talking about today, what is the source? Now, last time we talked about that one. Secondly, what is God? Now, I didn't say who now. What? The concept God. Is who is the source of your life? That is who God is. That is what the concept of God means. So, because you see, God says, I am God. There is none else. I, a person. God, a concept. Are you getting my point? I am God. There is no, so God says, I am God, there is none else. Do you follow my point? So the God of Israel had names they called him by. Sometimes we use the word Yahweh or Jehovah. That's how Israel knew him. The way he liked to describe himself best is the people he had related with. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He says, I am God. Turn to me and be saved. You ends of the earth. I am God, there is none else. Why does he keep saying that? Because other things pretend to be God. What am I preaching about today? Like I said, still on that subject. The area I want to focus on is God as a source of life. And how he's jealous when you don't recognize that. He's a source of life. And he's jealous when we don't recognize it. You know, God says, I'm God, there is none else. You know why he says it? Because other things always try to take that position. Remember, the people are always trying to fight for his position in your life. When he says, I will be like the Most High, people have said that Satan wanted to dethrone God. First, he wasn't talking about Satan, he was talking about the king of Babylon. But most importantly, is where I'm going. You can't dethrone God, it's not, the concept does not exist. But you can dethrone him in people's lives, in people's thoughts. You can remove God in the thoughts of people. It's very possible. I will be exalted. I will be like the Most High. They will start looking at me as a source of life. Do you get my point? Yeah. They will know I'm the one that will decide who lives and who dies. Who I wish to make to prosper, I will. Whoever I want to reduce, I will reduce. So they keep on doing that until people start looking at you as God. They may not use the name God, but suddenly they are more afraid to offend you than they are to offend God. Talked to one brother once. We met at the airport, so our flight we had, I don't know whether it was the same plane. Anyway, we were both waiting for flights, so we had time to talk. And I described the church he used to go to. And one day he went and told his parents that he's no longer going to the church. He wanted to leave. So they now took him to go and see the big man of God. And he said, he told the man something. The man said, why do you want to leave? He said, I realized that I feared you more than I feared God. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, he told the man to his face. He said, sir, I have to go because it has dawned on me that I fear you more than I fear God. And he told him that, they said, the way me and you, he has much respect for me also. He said, the way we are sitting down here now, and I'm talking with you. So I could never dare that with him. So you come into his presence, it's a kind of... Now I'm looking for... There's a kind of dread, yes. There's a kind of dread that surrounds him. So let's see, the aura of dread, yeah, good. That surrounds him. You see, I realize that I feared him. So if God says, don't do this, and he says, do, I will do it. That's what he meant. It was more important that I pleased him then I please what God says to all of us through the prophetic words in the scriptures. So he told himself, no, I have to go. Katrikuma will tell you that at the point in time in her life, she loved that husband she married more than she loved God. And God said, I will fight for my position in your life. So God choked her until she woke up to reality. And she looked. God said, just one thing I'm demanding. I'm putting many things together. What was it? You will leave. So she packed her bag and left. And God said, I never gave you a marriage to him. Sorry. I never recognized this marriage. Two of you were just fooling yourselves. Stories around it. But let's not go into the story. So she just walked away nicely. That was when she recovered her love for God. So up to that point in time, she just realized that she loved this man more than she loved God. What does that mean? She would rather obey him than obey God. She's more afraid to displease him than she was afraid to displease God. She was more afraid. Do you get what I'm going to say here? That's what it is. And you know, these days, now, in fact, let me give you the title to this message, because today I'm under time constraints, not like the normal way I will have time. So I have to really try and hedge myself in with the title. I gave a title to what I want to talk about today. Not too much like me, but once in a while I do. And when I do, you should be happy. Tell your neighbor, thank God. That's if you really are grateful to God anyway that I do. I call it the source and his tools. Yeah. The source and his tools. His instruments. What he uses. And the fact is that people often, that's what I'm trying to talk about. People often substitute tools for God. For example now, like Pastor Annie was saying yesterday, we don't work for a living. How many of you remember that? What did he say we do? Let me see who remembered that. Some people are opening their books to find out what they wrote. You did check your book? Okay, good. Okay, yeah. It's clear you have not opened it because you got it very correct, very close, but not 100% correct. But you were very close, yeah. You're right. He said, we don't work for the kingdom. We work to promote. Sorry, we don't work for money, for a living. We work to promote the kingdom of God. That the aim of our work is promoting the kingdom. Now, but you know, before you realize what's happening, because most of the money you earn comes from that work, after a while, you are more concerned about preserving the work than promoting the kingdom. And really, this is how life is. A time comes in which, let's say you get a job or you have a business that gives you a lot of money. And you're living very comfortably. Very comfortably. You have a very nice car. You built a house. You have a second one going on. You know, once in a while, you know, your children go to very good schools. He's mindful that we are but flesh. And he said, these things happen to human beings. Next thing you are thinking about is that if I were to lose this job, if I were to lose this business, what happens to me? And anytime those thoughts come to your mind, brethren, time to pray. What did I say? It is time to pray. You have to get on your knees and confess your fault to the Lord. It's important. Because that is a dangerous place to be. That is a dangerous place to be. It is a dangerous place to be. Why? The tool is suddenly becoming God. And that is what God fights. You know, last time I said about the purpose for which you live. Now, what do you keep your eyes on as a source of your life? God also fights it. Many years ago, of course, I'm medically trained and I read. I try to keep myself informed. I almost got into the diet way. Now, listen to this. Let's talk about diet. Now, please, let me just say something. Some human beings are just wicked. They like to misquote me. Well, it's not only if they can misquote God, who am I anyway? Paul will write, they take it out of context. People like to take me out. In fact, I start feeling important with myself. They take God out of context. They take Paul out of context. They take the prophets out of context. Who am I that you should, in fact, misquote me? It's part of being a preacher. Not a big deal. But let me just clarify some things. People many times misunderstand what I say. They take something I say in isolation and make it look like the only thing I said. The famous one is that they said, men are not supposed to be nice. Have you heard that nonsense before? And people say, men are not supposed to be nice. Bank it, 2022. When did I say so? I never said that. Of course, you all know I didn't say it. I just kept on saying what? Being nice is not even near the top of what is important in your life. It's being godly. It's fearing God. It's loving God. So I said, young single women, don't marry a nice man who doesn't fear God. That being nice is not an important thing. Hey, people say, hey, he said we should not be nice. And women have fought their husbands for following me. They've gone to report to my wife that I'm having problems at home because of your husband. Why? Your husband said my husband shouldn't be nice. And my husband is not. And why didn't you ask this woman that you're talking to? Is that how he behaves at home? People take things I say out of context. But like I just realized now, I don't need to worry about it. It's just human beings do. That's what human beings do. Not a big deal. What I keep on saying to people. Let's talk back to the issue. I got into this. Of course, I have knowledge. I have understanding. The way life. That of general things, I mean. The way life, people in life have continued to teach us. I listen to some people, they talk as if everything about life is physical. If people die early, it's in their genes. If they live long, they have the gene for longevity. Okay, it can be modified by environmental influences. I mean, if they shoot somebody in the head, gene or no gene, you're dying that day. So that's the modification we're talking about. If you decide to drink poison, gene or no gene, you're dying that day. So, but everything about whether you live long or died early or lived healthy is dependent on just three things, basically. Let me add a fourth one. It's one, your genes. Two, your diet. Three, give me the third one. Exercise, thank you. And four, access to medical help. Access to medical care. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Medical care. Those four things are supposed to decide whether you will die early or live long. One, your genes. Two, your diet. Three, exercise or lack of it. And four, access to medical help. Medical care. Now think about it. Ask an average person on the road. That's what they think. Now, why do they think like that? Listen to this. It's because many times God granted help to people through medicine. And let me say something about God. Many times he grants help to people through things. For example, Ezekiel was sick. And Isaiah told him, of course, God said, put your house in order, through Isaiah, for you will die and not live. And then, what happened next? Ezekiel prayed. When Ezekiel prayed, God said to him, to Isaiah, go back. That is, Isaiah was in the compound of the king. That prayer was not a long intercessory prayer. He declared a 4-day fast. God, oh, I'm not going to die now, Lord, I bet. No. As soon as the prophet left, as he may just greeting a few people along the road, or it takes some time to pick his things, in that short interval, Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall. There was nothing in the wall, just like away from everybody else. That's the concept of a wall there. I've seen people before say, let us pray. Now, let's face the wall. I'm praying and start facing the wall. Yeah, I've seen it. People now face the wall to pray. All right? It's not the wall. Please, get it. The idea is that his servants are on this side. You know he was sick. People are caring for him. In there to have some privacy, he couldn't get up. They wouldn't leave him. He didn't even have time to tell them to leave. And the prophet was talking to him from his bedside. So he turned away from both the presence of the prophet and all his aides, people who are caring for him, and got his focus by looking at a blank wall. That is a concept behind the wall. Please don't go and build a wall in your house, that this is a prayer wall. Please, I hope we are clear. Okay? Anyway, but he turned to the wall and then he prayed. And before the prophet could leave the compound, God had answered him. Now, you know the rest of the story. God said to him, go and tell him, go back. Tell him, I've heard your prayer. I've given you 15 more years of life. What did Isaiah now say next? Did he just walk away? What did he say? He said, make a cake out of figs. Apply it to the ball. He had a problem, I think, in his leg. Apply it to it and he will recover. Now, this is what the issue is. This is what people now do. They start a school of curing chronic illnesses and leg problems and terminal cancers from the leg with cake of figs. They pound it, they package it, and export it. The Hezekiah cure for everything. That's where the problem usually comes. And this is, as soon as this one may sound exaggerated, but that's the fact of life. People will do it every day. The method by which God bless people, we now start looking at it. This is the key to life. This is the key to life. And that is where the problem starts. And I'm telling you again, God is jealous about it. He's very jealous. He's very jealous. I'll give you one of those things. The four things, right? Genes, exercise, diet. Yeah. Now, do you know the genes we can't do much about? But we pay attention to the other three. What are the other three? Exercise, diet, and health checkups. When last did you go for a checkup? And then we talk about it so much. Let me not talk about my attitude to it. I don't like to tell people what I do in some things. Because people, again, they will misquote you, quote you out of context. Let me just teach the word, apply it as it applies to you. I hope you're getting my point. Now, people will invest a lot of energy into health checkups. They invest a lot of energy into what they call exercise. A lot of money into going for check. When last did you go for a routine check? Every year. And did you know, of course, because I teach these subjects to students, there's a way you check yourself for this, check yourself for that, check yourself for this. At the end of the day, an average person that's maybe 50, 60, who's in one of these enlightened environments, if you see the amount of money and effort that is spent on checking this breast cancer, this is what you do. You go for mammography, you do this one. Prostate, if you're a man, this is what you do. Colon, you go for this. There are a number of things like that that have been, you know, institutionalized in medicine by which you prolong your life. Let me give you small medical knowledge. Just to help you know that doctors are, they may be next to God, but that next is very far. Are you getting my point? God is in heaven. They are just on top floor of a building. Yeah, an average person is on ground floor, second floor. You get my point? So that is how they are next to God. They are not next to God as if they are in the cloud. They are still closer to human beings, other human beings, than they are to God. That's what I want to talk about. Do you know? You've heard of mammography. In the scientific world, I don't know whether it's 50-50. A huge chunk says it's a waste of time. Amongst doctors here, they say it's a waste of time. Are you aware of that? The test that they used to screen for prostate cancer so they can catch it early, the man who invented it says it's been the most colossal waste of public funds on health on record. The man who designed the test, late 70s, early 80s, thereabouts, about 10 years ago, he said, mistake, it was a waste of time. You want to hear his exact words? He said, it is nothing better than tossing a coin. Those were his exact words. A researcher, a scientist. He said, it is nothing better than tossing a coin. And a few years ago, one of my American federal, their government body, removed it from the recommendations for people. Except for a few persons. But routine for all men, they said, it's just as well. You may as well take a coin, toss it up. Am I at risk or am I not at risk? Head, you are. They said it's not better than that. Now, that's not my issue. That's after more than 30 years of using me and you as a guinea pigs. Now, that's not to talk down on medical science, but to let you know that they are next to God because they are on top floor of a building on the earth. And most people are on ground floor. God is above the clouds. They are not that next to God as if God is in heaven, they are in the second heavens. No! They are human. God is mindful that even doctors are what? But flesh. Yeah, they are human. So, for the Christian, God is upset. Remember jealous? Let's use the word jealous. God is jealous that you look at your medical checkup as your source of long life. He's jealous about it. So those early days, more than 20, what am I saying? Almost 30 years ago, I learned some health habits. And God frustrated them one after the other until I quickly dropped them. Yes. He said, eat this. No. You know, one of my people said that it's not good to cook your food. Don't eat cooked food until 12. All kinds of stories. All kinds of stories. They have all kinds of diet fads out there. The truth is that I bought into things of, raw food has this. Have you ever heard this? Eat organic. You want to hear this? Now you can disagree with me. That's your problem. But let me tell you what I think. Stop having the problems of rich people. Do you get my, what am I saying? This eat organic is not for you. You are too poor for that. You are still struggling. How many houses do you have? Do you have up to 50 houses yet? No, you are not rich enough. There are people that started cooking their food in titanium pots. Have you heard of that before? Now, that was a big scam. It was a big scam. In today's Naira, a set of titanium pots would be like 3 to 4 million. No, more like 5 million in today's Naira. People used to cook their food. Clay pots didn't kill your great-grandfather. They say use titanium pots. Now, it's all this scam thing I'm talking about. But let's even leave all these scam ones. I bought into this, eat this, and which were good. Now, please listen to me. I didn't buy into it ignorantly. I bought this as a qualified medical doctor. But God said, Banky, if I let you go that way, you will mislead people. So anything I grab that this is healthy, God makes sure it makes me sick. There was a time I used to have this rash everywhere. God blessed me. Oh, I'm blessed. Tell your neighbor, he's blessed too. No, seriously, tell somebody that this guy is blessed. Now, I'm talking about me, I'm not talking about your neighbor. Just tell me to gossip about me. When I say blessing, God gives me wisdom. I did a lot of thinking. I reasoned. Something in me just said, it's something you are eating. I know the way typical people go to hospital, check you, do all kinds of tests up and down. I told myself, no, there's something I'm eating. I just couldn't put my hand on it. Finally, one day something happened, and I realized what it was. The whole rash disappeared. And I, it's gone. Thank God. I thought it was just answer to prayer, which was part of it, okay? And then one day, it showed up. I quickly did a scan. The last 48 hours, what did I eat? I noticed something I ate, I had not eaten in a long time. And I removed it from my food. I eat it now. And I eat it now. I just want to tell you what. I can tell you it's not a secret. I just don't want people to quote. You know, people just start quoting you, so I don't want. It was something, a nice fruit that you eat raw, that's very high in fiber, high in nutrients, high in this, high in that. And I used to eat a lot of it. And God said, look at this boy. This is where you're looking for health. Look at one angel. Did like this. The angel said, thank you. The angel sent leanness into my soul from food. So I went off that for the next few years. Until one day, and I said, Lord, okay, point taken. And I returned. I started eating it again. This time around, in what you should do with everything, which is what? In moderation. First, in thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. And in what? Moderation. You see, let your moderation be known to all men. You have to be moderate in everything. You have to be moderate in everything. What would I do? I just return to moderation. And now I live normally. It doesn't worry me. I don't worry it. We don't worry each other. Brethren, let me tell you the truth. I learned about the jealousy of God. And it makes me very careful. Last time I talked about children. I made it clear. These children, I don't know you. You belong to the Lord. I won't die because of you. I will, listen, people don't understand. You know, sometimes, I'm sorry to say, let me just go here for a second. Listen to me. This world, including church, they have tried to deify human beings, especially in relationships. I've heard pastors say that you are preaching, all right? That you cannot go and preach when his child has a soccer engagement. As a father, you have to be present. See, let me tell you the truth. Parents, listen to this. You have to be present for your children. You should be. It's very, very important. I didn't know how important it was until one day I went to church. My son, Akinru, who you all know, he's a big boy already. They're doing something in church. And I decided to come, just to come and watch. When I sat down, he saw me. The way he ran down, prostrated, I realized it was so important to him I came. I never knew. Honestly, I didn't know. Because if I was the one, I would be embarrassed. I don't like my close ones coming to see me in quote perform. Do you get my point? I get embarrassed. So unconsciously, it doesn't matter. I didn't know. For children, no. I'm going to be emceeing this program. Daddy should come and see. I still have the pictures. He was emceeing a big event. He wasn't a child anymore. Yet when he saw me, my God. So I know it's important. Your child is going to play football. Go and watch. In their school, they are doing whatever, ballet for small girls. Go there, pastor. Go and sit down there and watch. And before your girl goes up, if they allow, call her. Hey, you do well. Give her a high five. And go and sit down there and put a smile on your face throughout. And be looking at her throughout. Don't look at other children. It is good. As good as it is, it is secondary to some other things in your life. God must never think you think this is more important than some other things he gave you to do. This man said his son was supposed to play ball. He just found out, what? He told them to cancel the program. I said, what? Do you want that boy to break leg? Where is playing ball? I know it's good. That's what I'm going to say. I know it is good. But please, don't provoke God's jealousy. This world, what we end up doing now, we build human beings up into the focus of worship for people they are in relationship with. I use the word relationship now because I just want to talk about husband and wife alone. Parents is also part of it. Oh, is your daughter's wedding? You know, it's very, very important. Now, I will say something that will shock a lot of people. Let us assume, for one reason or the other, they have evangelism that's going to reach out to one area of town. You are the evangelist. Your name is Raymond Bonke. And you don't know what happened, though. They went and fixed your only daughter's wedding for that same period. Let me tell you the truth now. You can never cancel that evangelism because of that wedding. They have to shift the wedding. Let me just warn you ahead so that you will know. They have to shift. If they can't shift the wedding, anoint your first son to go and represent you. Anoint your younger brother to represent you. I know, of course, in practical terms, we can always shift weddings. We know that. But I'm just giving this as an extreme example so that you will know what I'm talking about. Why? Because your presence is not critical When I say critical, if you die, that thing will still hold. The other day, you know, of course, you know the story I'm talking about. One of our very prominent politicians, he and his wife were sent to prison abroad. You know the story. And his son had to wait. People would say, how can he wait? I said, come, you guys relax. And when the parents are going through that, I said, they are going to go through this for 10 years. Didn't you read the sentence? It's not a 2-year sentence. It's not a 4-year sentence. The shorter one is 8 years or so. The longer one is over 9 years. I said, whose daughter is he going to keep waiting for 8 years because his father is in jail? He's a rich boy. That thing you saw was a quiet wedding. It was a quiet wedding. If the parents were here, you get what I'm going to say? Airspace. We shut everything down. But where I'm going, why I'm telling that story, do you know the wedding still held? What does that tell you? Nobody was critical apart from those two persons. Sometimes we are taught, you know, that's why I said that when I'm preaching sometimes, please, ladies, let me just beg you something. When I say something that across your side, don't squeeze your face. It's ungodly. I'm not kidding. Because you know, that's part of the problems we have. You know, we have been so, when someone like me now come and attack some things, they're like, why do you go there? I will go there because God wants to help you. You've been turned to a little goddess in that house. If you want water, and they have to cross the camp of the Philistines, at the risk of their lives to fetch it for you, you've been trained that, yes, expect it from your husband. Don't be stupid. That is what the world has turned us to. To little gods that should be worshipped at home. And we buy it. We buy books. I don't want to sit on that matter now. And this is creeping. Now listen, there's some problem with good things. They can become God. A good thing, before you know them, you turn into God. So everything must wait. Why? It's your son's birthday. I know it's my first son. So? If you go and read scriptures, if you read your Bible very well, you see God deliberately come against some of these things. A man came to him, he said, look, let me go and bury my father. The father was not in the mortuary, I hope you understand what I'm saying. The father was just old. Let me go and attend to him first. When he's dead, and I no longer have that responsibility, I'll come and answer the call. And God looked and said, are you joking? Are you trying to mock me here? Let me just stop the message there. Let me not sit on that. One said, let me go and greet them at home. Elijah did not allow Elisha to do that. Sometimes obey. See, we treat God like a power. He's not. I need to address that thing because it's a little by little. I see it. Human beings are being deified, turned to little gods and goddesses in the house that should be worshipped. And we think it is advancement. We think it's civility. Listen, you have to understand the work of the kingdom. It comes first before some of these things. And you have to train yourself to appreciate them like that. You have to train yourself to have pride in some things. That for this cause, I've suffered the loss of many things. So we can advance this kingdom. It's your 25th anniversary. Where's your husband? Some women were like, that's what I'm going through. What is You should smile. We postponed it. Why? He has a teaching program that weekend. So he had to travel. He has gone to Nasarawa. On your 25th anniversary, how many 25th anniversary will you have? He has gone to Nasarawa. Smile about it. We'll do the 26th. You know, this is a point birthday in your life. It's your 50th. Your husband should be there. Says who? Ah, pastor, you're turning 50. The whole world must come to stop to honor you. Says who? I hope you know this birthday celebration are they not modern events? Those is who knew their birthday. Please, I'm not saying they are bad. But before we realized it, people had lifted them to a point where ministers are bragging on the fact that they cancel preaching engagement because the son is going to play soccer. As a father, hey, listen. As a father, it's because you are still there. That's why you're talking this English. Fatherless children are raised. What's your problem? What should you do? And like I tell you, live a life that your children will have examples from. Like, you know, let's just more like I said, talking about offering as an example. See, I train my kids not to see giving to God as change. Why? My wife and I told my wife then, we never give them small money to put in offering basket. Because when we're grown up, that's what you did for children. In today's naira now, all right? You give all of them 50 naira. Why? You know, they are children. Then you are the one. Let's even assume you're a generous giver. That same offering, you will put 20,000. I said, no, don't do that. Take that 20K. Put in an envelope while they watch. and give to the older one. Offering time, you. Come, let's go. Watch him go to the front and drop a fat envelope in the offering basket. And go back. You are teaching him a lesson. That we don't give to God from change. That's what you are doing. Because the same little boy, they see you go to the mall and buy them ice cream. They see you go to the mall and buy shawarma, buy meat pie, and they pack everything together and you pay 25,000. They sit down, but you want to give in secret. They won't lend generosity. In the same manner, what should I have done to that boy? Whoa, this your soccer game is very important. It's very important. I should be there. I should be there. But Junior, for the sake of the kingdom, can I go and preach? After the game, when you come back home, you, me, and your younger ones, we are going to celebrate it. Make sure you win. And if you can, take a phone. If your mother is there, your mother is there with them, before they enter the pitch, give him the phone. Hey, Junior, how you doing? Fine. Play well. Okay, let me pray with you. Oh, it pains my heart. I can't be there to watch you. But you understand, the work of the kingdom is first. And they will say, yes, daddy, I understand. He will grow up and prioritize it also. But when you tell him I can cancel it, means look at an ordinary soccer game. And the pride of your son is more important than preaching the gospel. That's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm making. Let me sit on the main theme. I'm watching my time very closely. Brethren, I want to say to you, God is jealous in the way we deify his tools. Because of time, we won't open the scriptures I wanted to read. Please just allow me. I may make reference to them. I mentioned the fact that when Ezekiel was sick, they said, apply a cake of figs to the ball, and he will recover. We know recovery is not in the cake of figs. It's not in the cake of figs. Recovery was in the word of the Lord. He sent his word and healed them. And that word delivered them from their destructions. It's the word. But the word sometimes uses tools. It uses tools. There's a story I tell one. Now, it's not the only story. It's not the only story. There are many. But just I've told that it's so dramatic. I told it many times. A boy that had an incurable brain tumor. The parents brought him to Ben Carson and said, God said you will treat him. God said he will be well. After people had rejected him, hospitals had said, let him go home and die in peace. They said, no, God said you will treat him. And Ben Carson was not intimidated by their God said. What did he rather do? He followed the medical procedure. And listen, if God says you should do something, please follow procedure. Do you hear what I say? Follow procedure. God knows what he's doing. He will walk through that procedure for you to have the right thing done, to have that result that he's promising you. Follow procedure. Of course, it's right to get a second opinion. So he said, okay, let me get a second opinion. They brought all the slides, brought everything. His pathology looked at it and said, no, this case is bad. Hopeless. Told them. They said, no, you don't understand. God said, you will treat him. And God said, he will be fine. Ah. He said, okay. Because of their pressure, he went to theater. Removed a bit of the tumor. His own pathologist looked at it, returned the same verdict. Bad case. In the brainstem, you can't touch it. He told them again, bad case. He said, no, God said you will take care of him. Don't worry about it. You know what happened next? He went and took an MRI, only to discover that the tumor, now I'm going to say it two ways, had miraculously left the brainstem from being inside to resting on top of it from outside. Now, I use the word miraculously because all the specialists, including himself, had said it was inside, and it was the reason they could not operate it. But the physical explanation was that when he took a little bit of it out, it reduced the bulk and allowed the brainstem, it's a tiny gap between it and the brainstem to show. And immediately rushed back to the theater and began to claw at the tumor and remove as much of it as possible. And he watched as the boy recovered, as the parents said to him, God said. He treated the boy, And the boy recovered, contrary to everybody's expectation. Let me ask you, who healed the boy? Please, there's no catch. Answer me warmly. Who healed the boy? Was it Benkasen? What was Benkasen? The tool. That was the tool. Benkasen was the tool. And see, God wants us to know these things. Many Christians know what they do. They're trying to balance God and the tool. And God said, listen, don't balance me and the tool. I am God and there is none else. I can choose another tool. There was a time the whole of Israel was being beaten in that same leg. I did not tell anybody to make cake of sand. I didn't say they should make cake from manna. I didn't say they should make cake from anything. I said, put a serpent on a pole. Look up to it. And my people took that serpent home and kept on looking long after that situation was over. And upon the time they began to do what? Burn incense to it. I'm saying to you under God, right now, Christians burn incense to their genes. They burn incense to exercise. They burn incense to diet. And they burn incense to medical care. And you want to hear what the Spirit is saying? The Lord is jealous because of it. I believe in the exercise. Don't get me wrong. I do. I have a gym equipment in my house, which, okay, I'm not using in a while. But I have some small ones I use regularly. I can come and teach you how to do gymming without any equipment. The way you're looking at me looks like you might like a lesson or two. Yeah, seriously. And it works very well. You don't have to buy any equipment. You get all the effects. The little things you have in your house. I use them quite regularly. I believe in exercise. I believe in going to the gym and carrying weights, even though I've not been to the gym in a very long time. Because it's been kind of inconvenient, having to drive out of my house and drive somewhere. All right? And I found that I could just find a way around some of this in my house. You can design. You're an architect. I will teach you how to design houses that the very structure of the house is designed for men to walk out. Make sure you ask me this morning. You know, we are doing business by the Spirit. You have architectural designs that, look, just the beam inside the house, you walk things into them that the man is going to just grab it, does a few pull-ups, and he drops. If a man, if you pull us yourself, even if it's just four a day, which takes less than 30 seconds, there's no way you won't have some iron in you. You will have. Remind me to teach you. There are little things that make this life easy, that they are not in homes. If it's now, I'll tell Bishop to do this. In fact, we can see, let's have a meeting and make some adjustments. Make my exercise life easier. I love exercise. It's good. There was a time I used to get up early in the morning to go and walk. 45 minutes in the morning. I used to do it like 3-4 times a week. I go and run and walk. I stopped, not because I was tired. I just saw the Lord looking at me with the corner of his eyes. As I was passing, the Lord said, where did they go? I want to go and walk out. Okay, let's see what you worship. What is the best time to pray and meditate on the word of God? This is the time. That's the one you used to walk out. Are you normal? I realized I was not normal. Find another time. If you can get up by 5, get on your knees, my friend. Take the scriptures and use it to pray. What are you talking about? Get on your knees and pray at that time. And invoke. Listen. When God says leave, you know you will not die. When God says leave, you will not die. I told you studies have been done. Let's even talk on natural plane. Life is in three levels, spirit, soul, and body. It's been shown that the soul condition is more important than the body condition when it comes to whether you live long or you will not live. Have a study done over 100 years. He said number one key to long life is having steady and healthy relationships. Yeah. Steady and healthy relationships keep you alive better than a good diet. Listen to this. Better than not smoking. Better than not drinking. You know, God is jealous. Some of, you see, what we do sometimes, when Christians talk, that's why my sister and I, we always have this argument. I said, there's a diet they call Hallelujah diet. I said, I'm angry with that thing. I call it blasphemy. Why? Why did you add the name Hallelujah to it? You're glorifying diet, and I think it's out of order. There are all kinds. There's keto diets, there's Atkins diets, there's fat diet, carbo diet, there's all kinds of diet. God doesn't have a problem. But don't put the name of God on anyone. All of them, if done with thanksgiving, is hallelujah diet. And I think it's fraudulent for somebody to now say, this is a God gave me this one. He gave it to you. He didn't give it to the rest of us. He said, one man said he was dying of cancer and he discovered this diet. Come on, that's a lie. This diet cured you. The all of us, you have fig dressing. What they call fig dressing. Was that not what cured Hezekiah? So all of us should now be going around rubbing fig on our legs. So how are you doing? Have you used your fig today? No, your leg will soon get problem. You carry the fig, rub it. Because Hezekiah discovered it through the prophetic word of Isaiah. Would that be right? God gave something to Israel. They began to burn incense to it until the Spirit of God had to move Hezekiah to go and destroy it. That bronze serpent that Moses made was still in existence at the time of Hezekiah. Can you believe that? I'm talking about the jealousy of God. God is saying, listen, and I can tell people, they say, you are going abroad next week now for checkup. No problem. How much is it going to cost you? Flight ticket alone is how much? Let's be conservative. 3 million naira. You're a rich man. How much are you paying the hospitals there? Not too much money. Maybe you are going to India. They don't charge so much money for that. Maybe they take only $2,000 from you. You go for a checkup. As your annual checkup, you have blown 7 million. Let's put everything together. And it's your annual checkup. It's not too bad. After all, you have a lot of money. There's only one problem. If we told you, now, I'm just saying because I'm in Enugu, we are doing business by the Spirit. Come to Enugu, come and lodge in a hotel for 4 days. Yeah, I will join online. And you won't even join. You don't know. People don't. I pray we understand it. You see, when Pastor Annie was preaching yesterday, God, I don't know about you, but me, I was blessed. I don't know about you. I was tremendously blessed, especially the way he ended it. When he began to give testimonies of by the Spirit. When he began to give testimonies of by the Spirit. I'm telling you, God wants his people to know health is by the Spirit. And I'm warning people, see, don't let God make you an example. It's what you obey primarily that shows what you worship. What is the first thing you are obeying? You can pay millions of naira to go for checkup. Like I say, Billy Akoni has a camp. If a quarter of that money, your whole family will be there. Hearing teaching for a whole week. You've not done it. You know why? Because you think health depends more on diet, exercise, and medical checks than any other thing. You discipline yourself to exercise every morning. But for goodness sake, can you give me 10 Psalms? You have memorized minus Psalm 23. That was not you. Your father that taught you that one when you were a child. Yeah. That you have memorized. What is wrong with putting the whole of Isaiah chapter 53 in your head? And standing up and facing the wall like Hezekiah and reciting it. You know why you don't do it? You don't think it works. What am I saying? If you did those things first, you took that. After all, what did the Bible say? There are not too many things that God gave us as prescription for long life. Let's count a few of them. Just give them to me. One, just a few things. One, honor your father and your mother. That is one. Another one. That's not the only one now. Don't speak lies. Keep your mouth from speaking deceit. Love good. Seek peace and pursue it. He told you those things. These are the keys that he gave us for what? Long life. Why don't we have a seminar? Maybe I should do it one day. Long life seminar. We just bring out the 4 or 5 things that were specifically stated had to do in scripture with long life. What's the message I'm preaching today? God is jealous about those things. I was telling you about myself. I learned it early. Once there's something, this one is the key to health. First, I have a rule. I first do the opposite for some time. Before I now normalize. People say, don't eat sugar. I said, that's because, I said, can you even afford it? People, you know, I keep on telling you, stop having problems that you don't have. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Yes. Don't go and invent for yourself problems of prosperous people. There are things Africans should not see. It's like an African telling you now that he wants to go to the sun to go and lie down to tan. No, you are going to look at him and say, are you normal? That's how ridiculous some of the things we do. Ah. With the sun burning your head. Some of you don't have hair on your head like anymore. It's not, you are not bored naturally, sun. Sun remove the top. Your skull is thicker in that area because of the heat of the sun. You don't want to go and lie on the beach. You are feeling like Oyinbo. You are not Oyinbo. Stop pretending. Every culture has something that they indulge in excessively. And then they have to fight their own indulgences. They don't buy a fight that doesn't involve you. So when you see Africans and they say, I don't eat this one. You look at his bros. Nobody gave it to you. He said, I don't eat egg. I said, let's be honest. Can you really afford to eat egg? I'll give it to you a fact. If you're an African, please eat egg. What did I say? Yeah, eat eggs. Please, I'm begging you, eat it. You know what? You don't eat enough of it. Culturally, you don't eat enough of it. So the little they give you once in a while, please, eat it. There's nutrient inside. They say, you know, that cholesterol is good for you. It cannot hurt you. Dietary cholesterol has been shown not to be harmful, even medically speaking. Even though I knew long ago that it was not an African problem. I knew it long ago. It was not African. I don't eat cholesterol. You don't eat cholesterol. I said, please spell cholesterol. Let me hear. You can't even spell it. You don't want to buy for yourself the problem, that is the solution some people invented to a problem you don't have. What's your typical diet? It's plant-based. That's your normal diet. Even medically, we know African and Mediterranean diet is good. And that's what they are trying to address when they say, I don't eat sugar, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. Because they have a different kind of diet in their own system. I'm just saying, I want to add to it, stop inventing problems for yourself that you don't have. But my emphasis today is that God says he's jealous. When people turn the tools to the source, the doctor is not the source of health. Any true believer will first of all say, come on, before, I've told you many times, you know, Taiwo, say you're there. You know, the matter that God is helping us with. Ask her later, let her give you testimonies. It's something, if I say, hey, Pastor, this is what I've been saying. And let's just go, do small surgery. It turns to, how many months now? 4 months complication. So that the doctor said that, you are making us look like we don't know what we are doing. Is that not what the doctor said? He said, this woman, you've turned us to people that don't seem to know what we are doing. Why? That surgery should have in, out, healing, everything. In-out surgery should have been about 2 hours maximum. Actually, typically 1 hour. Healing, 1 week. That you stay in hospital maybe 3-4 more days. Fully healed in 1 month. 4 months later, we are still praying for discharge. She finally went home last week, he told me. Not as everything is over. At least now we can do the rest from home. We'll be coming to hospital. For something that was supposed to be straightforward. Even the doctor is confused. Which kind of human being are you? It's called, the Lord has disciplined me severely. He said, but that he has not given me over to death. When you see such things, you better go and pray first. I've seen people that, I gave you the story, was it last time, that Theodore, how did he die? He went for a routine checkup. But it didn't bother him or anybody because he had said on Saturday, this is the last public message I'm going to give. On Monday he was dead from a small complication when he went for a checkup. Not in Nigeria, I think in Canada or US. I saw the stories again and again. People that say, I'm coming, let me just see this doctor. 1 hour later, they were dead. And the doctor is confused. I didn't do anything. I just, let's give him this injection. He reacted badly, he was dead. You're not a bad doctor. That's just life. That's just life. It's the reason why I say, look, even if you're ordinary malaria, before you go and see a doctor, please now, pray. There was something that happened abroad some years ago, I think in the US. One crazy human being decided to poison medical supplies. People say they have headache, they take ordinary paracetamol and die. Ordinary headache. I'm not feeling well. I don't think I can go to work today. Okay, I'm not just sleeping. Call your office. Meanwhile, take these two tablets of paracetamol, something like that. It wasn't paracetamol, just something like that. And you come back, the person's dead. After they saw reports all over town like that, police had to go around blaring from there with speakers, driving around. Don't take this medicine. Don't take this medicine. Don't take this medicine. They never caught who did it. They never did. The man decided to put cyanide somewhere in the medical supply chain. And people were swallowing cyanide and dying. They never caught who did it. That's why I said, even before you take, please pray. That's what I'm begging you. I'm not against medicine. I give my children medicine. Occasionally I take, well, not often, but. Are you getting my point? Yes. A lot of time people, now, okay, what I want to say now is it won't boost faith for some people. Let me leave it. But a lot of time people say that they have malaria, they believe in God. I said, 1 week later, I said, oh boy, please, this is 2,000 antibiotics. Drink it, my friend. I can be banging your head, praying against malaria for a whole week. Your faith is not working. Use this to... yeah, use it. No, I don't... Seriously, I don't have a problem with it. Why? I say it as a cake of figs. God said, I've heard you. Apply a cake of figs to the boy. Say, no, I don't want to be healed without a cake of figs. Because you see, that's the problem I have with you now. You are not turning this your faith to God. This your ability to confess is not God. This your ability to confess is not God. It mustn't work. You've used it now for 1 week. It doesn't work. Okay, your brother took his own. It's anti-malaria. And it worked. Abi? Okay, I bless both of you. Now, you swallow. This is your cake of figs. One day he told me, a friend of mine, this was long ago. He wasn't feeling well. He'd been sick for days. So they said I should come and see him. So I got there. What is the problem? They told me. I didn't even pray for him. I just went. Brought me. I took a cup. Gave it to him. Swallow that one. Swallow this one. Swallow this one. Have you done that? Good, it is well with you. Then I left. And it got well. It got well. I felt like I said, bro, you don't have this. You can't force this faith to work this way. If this anti-malaria I gave you cured you, go to church and worship. My name is Isaiah. I just brought you your cake of figs. It doesn't mean tomorrow now. And I say, hey, the cure is anti-malaria. No. Personally, I'm telling you, this has happened to me personally. I fell ill. This was long ago. It was before I got married. And the Lord made it clear. You are not taking any tablet. You're not taking any medicine. Stay here. I won't go into details of how he told me. I tried to. He obstructed it. I tried like twice. He blocked it, By the time the second one was blocked, I said, Lord, what is going on? Hey, relax, my friend. Sit down. Drug medicine is not what you need. Your spirit is weak. So you know what I did? I carried everything that I threw into the dustbin. I said, God, me and you. I didn't get healed overnight. If I say, and I woke up next morning, kalabo shakaya. No. It was one complete month. I wasn't lying down the 1 month. After a few days, I got up. I went to work. One of my colleagues saw me. He said, Chief, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. What did you take? I said, nothing. He looked at me. Nothing? I said, no worry, it was weakness of spirit. I needed to. The guy looked like, oh, God on the crease, and he just left. You know that he just left him. I wasn't going to argue with him, I just left him. But I began to recover slowly. It took me some time, but I knew what God was saying. Sit down. So every morning, I will read. I will listen to a message. I will pray. And I will go to work. I had very little appetite. I would try to eat little. In the evening, I do that again. I will read. Listen to a message. I will pray. I did that until I discovered I was fully okay. So I'm not saying, I told all this story to let you know. There was a time, shortly after we got married, that one day my wife was ill. I thought it was malaria. She took some anti-malaria tablet. Second set. The thing was, while she was watching, I gathered all the anti-malaria tablets, went to the dustbin, put in there, and close the dustbin. I said, okay, come, time to pray. I said, I beg. Wife, we are just married. He never even reached, we're still in Lagos, Soho. That marriage never ever passed 6 months. 6 months even long. I said, this sickness, you will not stay here. Your time, you will not stay here. I wasn't speaking Igbo that time. I was just speaking Yoruba. No, I said, no, I refused. I said to her, please, 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 please. This one, this cake of figs is not the will of God. So he turned to declaration, the name of Jesus, I speak against you, Father, we invoke your mercy. When the guys realized we were serious, they ran away. They ran away. Told you my friend was ill. Doctor said, do this and this. I said, ah, bros, I said, that way is not good. I'm a doctor. When he told me what the doctor said, I said, bro, that way, these are the consequences. I said, I don't think we should follow them. I said, I don't think we should follow them. I said, what do we do? We'll see soon now. When we see, let us pray. So we gathered and we prayed. Say, what next? We wait. Ah, he thinks everybody, God, it's not every time God works miracles overnight. If he does it overnight, which he has done for me before. Oh, many times. Many times. Overnight. You pray hard about something, you wake up next morning. Ah. I don't want to start telling stories now. Three of them just flashed through my head. One, me personally, one, my sister, one, my mother-in-law. You wake up next morning. It was like, what happened just now? But there are times it doesn't work like that. There are times it doesn't work like that. But in all of it, we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. You see, I told you before, me, I'm not one person. If somebody's believing God, they'll be counseling the person. See, if you are believing God, just come. Let's believe properly. Because I keep on telling you, some people are believing God. The believing God is not believing God. It's money. That is, if they had money, they will do something else. Ah, you go to hospital, doctor says that, okay, everything, treatment, 500K. The man look, he can't even gather 70,000 naira. Say, let us believe God. If he tells me, I'm praying with you, I'll give you the balance. It's not evil, but for me, it's easier because I know the real problem. I know the real problem. But sometimes it's not just about money. The lack of money could even have provoked faith, whatever it is. So what I do with people, I say, come, let us talk. Let's now see the method the Lord wants to use. But we will never take our eyes off God. We will never. That is why personally, I'm sorry to say this, I'm very, very, now, people can disagree. I'm very slow in referring people to go abroad for treatment. In fact, I'm averse to it. I just look like, see, you're putting too much effort into this thing. That's my personal thing. I just say, come, relax, come. Who's referring you? Why? Some people just go to India. Nothing's wrong with them. They just say, my head is not working well, so I go to India. Did your doctor say you should go to India? No, they have good hospitals there. I say, look at you. Do you want them to ship you back in a box? Do you want to be shipped back in a box? I don't think so. You have to ask, okay. I mean, I'm telling you, my reason for being slow sometimes, I look at some of the effort. I said, are you sure we are not burning incense to Nehushtan? Is that not what is called the one that Israel was worshipping? That's the serpent. Is it Nehushtan, right? Yes. Sometimes I begin to wonder, are we not begin to burn incense to a tool? See, this effort is a bit too much. We begin to burn incense. If somebody is truly believing God, I don't have a problem with it. I will join you in prayer. Then my brother and I will finish praying, and some three of us we gathered and we prayed. A year later, he was totally fine. And I told him, see, I said, the doctors would have taken longer anyway. The days of Dawi and then G Lake, you come to them, they don't just lay hands on you. You come, they pray, they lay hands. You can get healed immediately. A lot of people don't get healed immediately. Then you go and rent a room somewhere nearby. And you come for Bible studies morning and evening. Morning and evening. Morning and evening. Some people after 1 week, no extra prayer, they are healed. Some, after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the ministry looks and says, it looks like your faith is ready. Come. Lay hands on the person, gets healed instantly. But that's after 3 weeks of constant infusion with scriptures. What am I talking about? God is jealous. People say honey is good for you, better than sugar. Have you heard that thing before? I'm sorry to say, I don't believe a word of it. I'm not here to talk science, but I just don't be, see. Be careful of the internet. What did I say? Yeah. In fact, you know this AI generating search things, eh? Google has now spoiled their search now. They now put the first report now. You see AI generated. As the AI say, if I want AI, I know where to go. I will go to ChatGPT or Meta. When I come to Google, allow me. Some of us are skilled in navigating this World Wide Web. It's full of nonsense. On everything you ask, 9 out of 10, especially medical information, is crap. 9 out of 10. People will go online and be researching. Please, you're not a doctor. Leave that place. Small information. If you need to do that, go to what they call authority sites. If you have a medical issue, there are medical sites that will give you information. Don't go and get information from people selling herbs. It's their business they are doing. I hope you're getting my point. Anything they promise you that standard medicine doesn't promise, don't believe. It is a lie 99.99995% of the times. There's no clove leaf and aloe vera and cactus that will remove your diabetes. Do you get my point? Please, let's not... people just go online and be there in reading the thing that, hey, sugar is better than honey. I said, who told you? I hope you know honey and sugar, two of them don't have the same taste. In case you did not know, you have not tried it, so let's leave that aside. But let me talk about me. Those days, they say, honey, 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 honey. So one day, I heard all of that. I was in my kitchen in the house. I made a cup of tea. I wanted to sweeten it with honey. I was about to pour the honey into it when I stopped. I had to look to God. Now, you see, it's for conscience sake. I said, dear Lord, I like the taste. It's not for health. Seriously. Because I know he's jealous. Because they had bombarded my head with honey, 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 honey. Honey this, honey that. As I was about to put honey in my food, I had to tell the Lord, please, Lord, though, it's not about health. It's about taste. I had to tell him that all that thing they've been saying, I don't believe. Pastor Bank, how do you do your health, your food? You want to hear the truth? We don't have enough time. I eat whatever is said before me that I like the taste. And I eat each thing in moderation. People say white meat is better than red meat. I eat both of them. I have noticed that when they enter my stomach, they have the same color. Yeah. This man eats both of them. He said, sugar guy is better than honey. Well, personally, I don't believe. But I eat what? Both of them. In fact, I have a habit. I can never put honey in anything without adding sugar. I can't. It's difficult. I don't know about you. Some of you like it. Me, I just can't. When I finish putting it, when I finish tasting it, there's something that Dangote said I must put. I just ask more. It comes out. And there's a way, you know, they have this synergistic effect. It now come out. That's me. That's not scripture. That's the way I do my thing. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah. Once it is not toxic, it's not, I just eat. They say, eat green vegetable. Yeah, it's good. I eat it. Brown one, I eat it. But you must have a nice taste in my mouth. I don't believe in punishing myself. If you give me something, take this one. I think it's bitter. I'm not swallowing. The bitter taste was put in our tongue to defend us against toxins. I'm not pushing toxins into my throat unless I have malaria. Which I don't have. We just say, put it, it comes bitter, one kind, all your mouth. Not in this mouth. I hope you know bitter leaf is not bitter. Is it bitter? I don't know. But it tastes sweet in my mouth. If it's bitter, I ain't eat it. But you know, soup has a different way of arranging itself. What is the taste of soup? I think the taste of soup is soupy. It's not really, yeah, anything you put, you know, they just bring out some of these things. By the time we finish adding, between the aroma and the taste, it just sheer heavenly pleasure. If I don't experience it, I ain't swallowing. Now, that's my own personal principle. And whatever it is eating in what? In moderation. There was a time they said, don't eat butter, it'll make you fat. Then I read another study. That's margarine, oily stuff. And then later I realized, very common sense. They say if you don't eat, you get fatter. Somebody say here. Do you know why? Who knows enough science to tell me why? Is that? Yeah. Oil has a higher satiety index. So if you put a bit of oil, you eat less. Fact. That's how I got the law. So that's why, see, I've gone through confusion too. See, with all my learning naturally, they have confused me too. Some people say, no, I eat mayonnaise because, you know, but I don't eat margarine. And they found out that the mayonnaise has higher calories than the margarine. So by the time I finish all the confusion, just like you are still confused, but me, I've been delivered. I finally obey the scriptures. Let everything be done with what? Moderation. That is what I do. Now, this is not part of the message, it's not, but just practical life. When they come and eat, I say, I have a rule. I started a few years ago. I don't eat unless I'm hungry. If I'm not hungry, I don't eat. I come for a ceremony, food is plenty. I'm not going to eat. Why? Except I feel the hunger. I don't eat. It's not in the scriptures, though. It may help some people. So when people say that, I say, I don't. And I see some people my age, they will eat and die. Me, I can't. So I believe it's a spiritual calibration God has given me. Sometimes my wife will say that, look, you'll get hungry at 11 o'clock. I say, I know. Her own is that, you will not start making. I say, no. Please, everybody go and sleep. Don't worry about me. If I get hungry at 11 o'clock and there's nothing to eat, I will go and sleep. You know what I've noticed? I won't die before morning. Now, I'm just answering the question in case you are wondering, how do I arrange my life? That's how I do. But is this one good for my health? I don't believe it. I take my scriptures. I believe in it. Whatever God has given me around, I eat almost everything without worrying my head. I don't count calorie. I don't. Fry it in oil, I swallow it. Once I can digest it. If it disturbs me, I will eat it again tomorrow. Is that not so? But my message today, let me summarize it. My time is gone. We have to close now. My message for today is simple. And that is the fact that God is displeased with when we replace him as a source of health. We use something else to replace him as a source of health. And our eyes are not focused on him. And that God uses tools, but the tools, none of the tools must ever be made into a God in itself. And how do you know what you are worshiping? Check the amount of effort you go through to please the thing. Let me use that expression. Look at the amount of effort. Now think about it. The way people pay attention to their diet and the exercise. An average person, do they pay that kind of attention to the word? When I say a word, not just say I went to church. Applying it. Say the way I spoke this morning, all right, with my boss. Is that godly? Is that scriptural? Like Pastor Andy was teaching us yesterday. What did he call it? The glory test. Thank you. Apply the glory test. Does the way I speak, does it glorify God? The way I interact with people, does that glorify God? Okay, I've done my business today. I had about 25 customers. I remember about 6 of them. Okay, how did I talk to them? The way I serviced them, was it the service I rendered, was it the way God wanted? Could I have done better? My husband spoke with me this morning. The way I answered him back, was that the right thing? How many of us do that, yet we'll carry a bottle of this thing and check what the additives are inside? That is what God is against. Obedience to the word of God is what will prolong your life first. If you, now listen, let me say this to surprise people. Do you know you can pray about your weight and God will fix you on that weight? Do you know that? Most people don't know it. They don't know it that it's possible. You can stand on the scale, say, whoa, I'm 95. Dear Lord, that's kind of heavy, don't you think? And God said, what do you want? I think I have to drop to 86. God said, okay, that's going to take us like 2 years. We have to form new habits for you. I'm not exaggerating. You will stand on the scale 2 years' time, and you are 85.8. And you wonder, what happened? And God said, 2 years ago now, you said you were too heavy. And I agreed with you. That's another thing. But if I don't agree with you, I'm adding weight to your body. He said, why is it important he agrees with you? Because God said, why? Why did you say you are too heavy? Is it because you read somewhere that body mass index anything above 2.8 is bad for you? If that's the case, I add to you. Or you went and watched the last Miss Universe. What's the name of that Nigerian girl? You looked at her figure. You now said, Lord, I think I'm too fat. Says who? Do you get my point? God now says who? How old are you? Say, I'm 41. How many children do you have? 4. You must be very stupid. Look at the girl you are comparing yourself with. That girl, is it 19 or... I don't know. But you know what I'm trying to say. These guys are between 17 and 21. And look at you here, at 41, trying to harass me in heaven. I have belly fat. God said, your husband likes it. Leave it. This man said it is true. Some of you go and lose what your husband loves. God have mercy on you. Don't want to be coming for counseling. I don't know what my husband is doing these days. You lost his plaything. That is why he's not happy. Now, you get what I'm going to say? You put all these things together. If indeed it's for good reason. Yeah, it can be for good reason. I told you that the request said the Lord only had added too much weight. That was not good for him. He's a minister. He takes so much to carry himself around. God said, why? Like one man said, why do you want to wear a jacket that's weighing 50 kg? And the Lord told him that you need to be fitter than you really are now. And losing weight for him, I'm sure, wasn't difficult. And for me, I've noticed it. Just remove a few things and increase the amount of activity in your life. And God says, it's okay. The point I'm making is that, you know, you can pray about your weight. A lot of people don't realize it. They think it's only in the gym. If God blows upon you, you can melt. I'm not exaggerating. You'll blow like this. After 1 month, you wonder where 10 kg went. He said, I would have done it more often, but people will get worried. So I'm going to stretch the answer to that prayer for 8 months. And I'll give you small habits. But if I say you will not lose that weight, jog from here to the top of Kilimanjaro, nothing is going down. You know what? Let me stop because of time. You know, we have to take a break and get ready for our seminar. God is jealous. He is the source of health. He is the source of long life. Your long life is not your genes. Let me say it clearly. It's not your genes. It's not your diet. It's not exercise. It's not access to health care. These last three, let's leave genes out for a moment. These last three are tools that he might use. Not all the time. He might use. Don't ever burn incense to any one of them. I don't have enough time today, so I have to stop it here. And like I said, this is the last message I'm preaching. All right. Now, regular for the year. Do I have a meeting on Tuesday? Yes, okay, last Saturday. So Tuesday will be the very last one that I will be preaching, okay? And then the year will be over. Let's just bow down our heads so that we can take a break and get ready for our seminar. Just say, Father, we thank you. Now, quickly, say, Lord, I make you my source. I redirect my eyes to you and to you alone. Nobody else will be my source. Lord, I like to exercise, not a problem, but that is not what will keep me healthy. I recognize that now. I've heard of doctors who died exercising. So, Lord, I cannot rely on it. But I like the food I eat. It tastes nice. So I would like to continue eating it. It's not the source of my health. Some people say, as I'm preaching now, the Lord hears some people say, man, I'm already tired. God says, yes, you should be tired. You have punished yourself. You've not been able to eat with thanksgiving. A critical thing for long life. You've not been able to do it properly in the last 6 months, 8 months. Everything is counted. Yes, I want you to be tired. I want to go back to the normal way of eating, but with moderation. That's the word of the Lord for somebody. You've been spending money you don't have, trying to arrange food in a manner that you can't afford. God says, stop it. Eat what I have given you. Eat it with joy, with gladness, and in moderation. And pray about everything. Who told you can't pray about your weight? Who told you? People say it's a bad habit. No, the people's ability to gain or lose weight actually is constitutively arranged. Many of them is not habit. Some people are slim, they eat a lot, they've never exercised. These are things you cannot control, but you can pray about them. You can pray about them. I told you, if you purify your motive, God will answer anything. So pray this morning and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. I commit this aspect of my life. Now, somebody needs to pray about his eyes. Put your hands on it again. Say, Lord, you are my healer. You put a hand on your chest and say, Lord, this hurt, cure it entirely. Some people here, you know, they normally take your blood pressure from your arm. That's why you need to put your hand over the arm where they normally tie the blood pressure thing. And say, Lord, calm it down. Calm it down. Calm it down. You can say to the Lord, I'm tired of taking medicines. If you're afraid, your father had a kidney problem. You know, one of your siblings also had. So fear has come in. Now today, I rebuke that fear in the name of Jesus. Now carry that burden and say, Lord, this is the burden I had. I hand it over to you. Now I receive the life that is in the blood of Jesus. I receive the life released by virtue of the resurrection. Give a little thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. The Lord is good. Please, quick announcement.